KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinneen, and it's 9:02. Back-to-back storms have slammed into communities up and down the Bering Strait region. At least four towns are working with state officials on disaster declarations since coastal flooding and storm surges damaged homes and infrastructure. Kotlik, near the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, sustained heavy damage on Sunday morning when ocean flooding was followed by sea ice, which plowed through the town. City Manager Lori Mike says the ice ripped off water and sewer boxes from 20 homes.
There's a lot of broken water sewer pipes. We have three loops here for the water sewer pipes. So out of those three, one loop is working. That's about 10, 15 homes, I'm assuming, that have water, but no sump, vacuum.
Mike's concern is for the simple health and safety of those in the community.
Sewage had leaked out onto the ground, and for the water sewer boxes that got ripped off their homes, around their homes, is unsanitary. And the other issue I have is the 13 homes with the water damage in their home. That's our main concern right now.
Those who cannot go back to their homes are staying with family, although most are staying at the high school in Kotlik, which serves as the evacuation center. While Kotlik was not hurt badly during Wednesday night's second batch of flooding, there are 13 families currently displaced from the weekend storm. A FEMA representative was expected to travel to Kotlik yesterday. Homes were also damaged in the community of Stebbins. According to Jeremy Zedek with the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, the GCI tower in Stebbins was damaged sometime early Sunday morning, and phone contact has been difficult. Stebbins Mayor Morris Neshonuk said over the phone that several homes were damaged over the weekend and will be uninhabitable for months to come. He said the honey bucket hauling system had been toppled as coastal barriers were overwhelmed, and the main road, along with the defensive berm had been damaged. However, no injuries were reported, and the town has made a disaster declaration with the state. And in Teller, on the western side of the Seward Peninsula, up to 2 feet of flooding happened Wednesday night after water overwhelmed the seawall. According to Jim Stimple, who works in Teller, the town's point is now cut off from the mainland by floodwaters yet to recede, and several hundred yards of beach are now gone, washed away by the surging tide. Nobody was hurt, though, and at this point there were no reports of private property damage. Stimple says people have been out cleaning up debris and surveying damage. While the storms hammering down on western Alaska have abated for now, the rush is on to repair as much as possible before freezing temperatures and more bad weather make that impossible. Wednesday afternoon, the Shishmaref City Council called an impromptu meeting where they signed an emergency resolution. The resolution asks Governor Sean Parnell to declare the city in the state of emergency and requests that he authorize appropriate measures to protect life and property on the island. The decision comes after this week's back-to-back storms. High swells crashed on the island Saturday and Wednesday. The first storm tore 20 to 40 feet off the west side of the island, collapsing drying racks, tent frames, and storage sheds into the water. This erosion undercut the land beneath the vital dirt road leading to the city's dump and sewage lagoon. Currently, the destabilized road is blocked to traffic and the sites are unreachable. Shishmaref Mayor Stanley Talktoo says until an alternative route can be accessed, residents will have to pile their trash and sewage outside their homes. Two alternative routes exist, neither appear to be opening soon. The first requires waiting for water levels to diminish, the second for sea ice to form. With this year's unseasonably warm temperatures and with more storms on the horizon, both courses remain blocked for the foreseeable future. The second storm, which occurred Wednesday, caused more erosion, the extent of which is still being determined. The Shishmaref City Clerk says the fire chief took pictures of the destruction Thursday morning and will have an assessment prepared later Mayor Talktoo says all residents are safe. No injuries have been reported. Talktoo also says the city is reorganizing its search and rescue operations in preparation for coming storms and the winter ahead. And the bipartisan Indian Law and Order Commission issued a report on Tuesday saying Alaska is on the wrong track to help Alaska Natives fight crime. But the state attorney general says the Parnell administration is doing a good job of tackling a mammoth problem. The Indian Law and Order Commission is a national entity, but in its six-chapter report, one is dedicated just to Alaska. Commissioners visited almost two dozen communities in the state, including urban areas and regional hubs, as well as remote villages. Troy Ides is chair of the Indian Law and Order Commission. He says the exceptionally high rates of crime caught the commission's attention.
A woman raised her hand and said, you know, I've been raped, and every woman in this room has been raped, and every woman in this entire village has been raped.
ID said limited law enforcement and victim support services are part of the problem. The nine commission members, who all serve as volunteers, held hearings, took testimony, and met with health, tribal, and social services and justice system officials.
I have great respect for the state officials we met, and they've been very open about talking to us, giving us information, and we acknowledge that in our reports. But in many instances, they're just wrong. They do not recognize that this is a horrific on-the-ground reality for many Native people, and that colonial models are not going to work in the United States. They've never worked.
ID says the state's strongly central system does not provide for collaboration with local governments, Native or not. He says the commission looked at what works in the lower 48 and what's working at places in Alaska to some extent, and recommends building the ability of local tribes to arrest, prosecute, and punish in order to govern themselves.
We emphatically reject the status quo in Alaska in terms of the state's current remote policing and limited services to Alaska Native Nations.
ID says the report also recommends changes that would strengthen federally recognized tribes in Alaska, channeling more funding their way for governance and allowing Native corporations to transfer land to tribes for placement in trust status, where they're protected from taxation and seizure. Alaska's Attorney General Michael Garrity says he agrees with some of the recommendations outlined in the commission's report. He says Governor Sean Parnell at the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in October said the state is working on a new initiative with tribes. Garrity says the administration plans on releasing details of the initiative this week.
And we're in the process of following up on those and hope to share an agreement shortly to work with tribes and let them take over responsibility for imposing civil remedies on low-level crimes that occur in the community, but which are nonetheless important. I mean, alcohol-related offenses, domestic violence, and other misdemeanors like that.
Garrity says the governor is also mindful of the limitations of law enforcement and support services in rural Alaska.
Governor Parnell's added $44 million in funding over just the last 4 years to increase VPSOs, troopers, and the type of treatment programs you're talking about. So, I think he's very mindful and very sensitive to this. But, you know, in a state as large as Alaska and as disconnected as we are by roads and so on, I mean, it's a mammoth undertaking.
Garrity says he does differ with the report where it discusses tribal sovereignty. Ides is optimistic the report will catch the attention of Congress, but that remains to be seen. The price of gold in New York is at $1,288.30 an ounce. An ounce of silver up 1 cent to $20.86. We're coming up on 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.